So our text for this morning's meditation is from Matthew chapter 6, these words, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the very first sermon that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preached was that recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, these words, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus' first sermon. Kingdom of God? What was that? Kingdom that Christ was creating on the earth. The kingdom that would commence now that God had become man in him. The kingdom which would tie the hearts of man to the very heart of God, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the very heart of God. So when is the kingdom of God at hand? When is it created? When are the hearts of man tied to that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, God's kingdom comes, we learn in the small catechism and confirmation class, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. So the meaning of the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." That we have a hard time understanding this, the coming of this kingdom and how this kingdom of God actually is realized in this world as we await the visible return of our King Jesus, puts us in good company, even in the company of the disciples of Jesus Christ. For even after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the disciples did not quite grasp what the kingdom of God was all about. For as we read in Acts chapter 1, the disciples asked the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Now, why did the disciples of Jesus ask Jesus that question right at that point? Well, it was because, as Luke records for us in Acts chapter 1, the resurrected Jesus appearing before his disciples had been talking to them about that kingdom. About that kingdom. So we could say his first sermon, his last sermon, was about the kingdom of God. So logically, the disciples assumed then that such a kingdom then would be inaugurated with the resurrected Jesus taking the leadership role. But instead, what did Jesus do? Well, as we know, Jesus then ascended into heaven, and having ascended into heaven, that question was left hanging in the air, wasn't it? And that is, what is the kingdom of God? And this is the question asked by every generation of Christians from the time of Christ to the present day. Now, some have believed that the kingdom of God was an actual political kingdom to be established here on earth. And granted, such political kingdoms which understood themselves to be the visible kingdom of God have been many. Here we can think first and foremost of the Byzantine Empire, that eastern part of the Roman Empire, that Greek-speaking half, which, embracing and integrating Christianity into its political realities, began under Constantine the Great in the 4th century to become, for all intents and purposes, a Christian empire. And that empire, that kingdom, didn't come to an end until the 15th century. That means it was a Christian kingdom, that Byzantine Empire, that lasted for over 1,000 years. No longer exists. Its chief place of worship, the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, Turkey, just last year was turned back into a mosque. It had been a museum. Of course, there is the Holy Roman Empire, the western half of that Roman Empire, which held sway over Europe from the 10th century up until the time of Napoleon, the 19th century. But it too, that Holy Roman Empire, it is no more. Now, if artificial intelligence is to be believed, only 21 of the 195 countries in the world today are officially Christian, like the Byzantine Empire or the Holy Roman Empire. That is, they have Christianity written into their constitutions as the official religion of the state. But over 120 countries in the world today have a majority Christian population. And that idea, that is, of Christians living within a country that isn't officially Christian, harkens back to the monastic movement, the beginning of the founding of the monasteries, where people could flee and live the Christian life away from the world. And that happened a few years before the Emperor Constantine embraced Christianity. And even though Christianity in the 4th century could finally be practiced openly throughout what had been the Roman Empire without fear or persecution, there were still those following the lead of a man by the name of Anthony who believed, you know what, that isn't enough. It isn't enough to have a Christian country. For there really was no way, so their thought, to practice true Christianity, that is, to pursue the kingdom of God and its righteousness and remain a member of any worldly kingdom. So Anthony went out into the eastern desert of Egypt to live by himself, but of course others followed him in Forrest Gump-type fashion, and thus began the idea of Christians in their pursuit of the kingdom of God, withdrawing completely from society and living in secluded communities, sterile communities, we could say, communities in which there would be no marriage and no children and no families. So to this day, these two competing notions of the kingdom of God, of establishing and maintaining it, that is, by running society as a government or withdrawing from society completely, they continue to be with us. But the challenge, of course, is not in seeking the kingdom of God, that is, in repenting and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the challenge. I mean, the gospel is readily available, and it's proclaimed on television, on the radio, on the internet, throughout the world, in tens of thousands, of hundreds of thousands of churches. Believe the gospel? It's relatively easy to hear the gospel. The fact that our sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, that through faith in Jesus we're declared righteous and holy before God, our Heavenly Father, the Son of God Himself, perpetually interceding for us by His mere presence in heaven, the wounds on His feet and hands and side, the great declaration that He did suffer to die for our transgressions, but was raised again for our justification. Yes, the repenting of the kingdom of God and the believing of the kingdom of God, that certainly can take place and does take place anywhere in the world. But the righteousness of God, as in, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that possible anywhere within this world? To pursue a holy and righteous life, those around us are not holy and not righteous, like we live in a monastery, or those around us are forced to be holy and righteous just like we are in a state that follows the Ten Commandments to the T. Would we then be able not only to seek the kingdom of God, but then also its righteousness? There is a reason that Noah and his family were rescued from the rest of the world. A reason that Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. A reason that Lot and his family were rescued from Sodom, and prophets like Elijah and John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. We know ourselves that in order not to be tempted by sin, often we simply must walk away, must distance ourselves, must even go off by ourselves, for the thoughts and ideas and daily life of the world can simply be too much. Each Christian here is confronted with their own strengths and weaknesses. I met a man once, for example, who pulled his child out of a school because one of the child's classmates had a metal lunchbox with some sort of cartoon superhero on it, which the man considered to be offensive. On the other hand, Christians who work as police officers or doctors or soldiers must daily deal with the most grievous of sins, truly offensive decisions and actions. and their consequences every time they go to work. And perhaps here we get to the crux of the matter, and that is how we as Christians can be the salt of the earth, that is, that we, that which changes the earth, that is, as the kingdom of God expressed upon the world, on the earth. In other words, how we can be the kingdom of God which is at hand if we're not at hand. Yes, the world can be and often is so overwhelming in its sin and stupidity and arrogance and ignorance and pride and prejudice, even in its murdering rage. And we, as Christians, taking all of these things in, can be overwhelmed and begin to think that the kingdom of God and its righteousness does not come through the preaching of the Word of God, does not come through the belief in that Word by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, does not come through one person after another, after another, after another, believing that Word and pursuing that righteousness to the point that society itself is changed without even knowing it's being changed. But that is, after all, what happened in the Roman Empire, which then morphed into the Byzantine Empire, going from Latin as the official language to Greek. For it's not as if the Emperor Constantine got a bright idea one morning and so declared that Christianity was no longer an illegal religion within the empire and then forced everyone in the Byzantine Empire to become Christians with his armies. No, by the time Constantine politically established Christianity in such a way, Christianity had already been established. Christianity had already taken hold. Christianity had already become the religion of the people throughout the empire because the apostles of Jesus had indeed gone to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that Christ had commanded. And in 3 centuries, between Christ and Constantine, the Roman Empire had become Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the church on the day of Pentecost, and through the preaching of the apostles throughout the Roman Empire, the Holy Spirit was also being spread throughout that empire, creating faith in the hearts of those who heard the preaching of the kingdom of God, of the life of faith in Jesus, and the realization of standing before the mighty and holy God, the maker of heaven and earth, as righteous and holy. I think then the example for us is clear. We too need to focus our efforts upon the proclamation of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If we want to change the world, we need to do that which changes the world. If we want to change the world, we need to do that which changes the world. And that is the proclamation of the Word of God, the declaration of the kingdom of God. So the moniker of the Lutheran Hour years ago, bringing Christ to the nations, which is what it was doing. Yes, we can and must at times take a break from the world, going on retreats, taking breaks, separating ourselves for a time to regroup and regain our strength in so many ways. And yes, we also must not wander away from the proclamation of the kingdom of God to the world, thinking that we really should be doing more important things than talking to people about Jesus. Where has the zeal of the 1960s and 70s to bring Christ to the nations gone, but into efforts ultimately that are just tangential to the kingdom of God? Using the Acts of the Apostles as our example, we could say that our problem has become that we would rather wait on tables than proclaim the gospel of Jesus. We'd rather do that which is part and parcel of this world rather than that which changes the world from the inside out. That is, from the heart of man. For it's ultimately in our hearts where the kingdom of God resides, where it is resident, where it does its work, and from which it expresses itself. And that means if we do the things of the kingdom of God, but they do not flow from the heart, that is, if our heart is not in that which we do, believing it to be for the kingdom of God, ultimately it is not. Think here of all the good that was done by the Romans back in the day with their massive water and sewage systems. They allowed 1 million people to live in the city of Rome in close quarters and remain healthy. Such systems still don't exist in many cities throughout the world even yet today. And yet their construction by the Romans 2,000 years ago had absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom of God. although they were wondrous and helpful and good. Defaulting to such an endeavor on our part and declaring it to be the coming of God's kingdom is simply too easy. More difficult, but far more life-changing, is believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and then pursuing his righteousness in whatever situation we find ourselves in this life, truly then being the salt of the earth. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in